We've had Doug in several times. Doug is the Legislative Affairs Chairman for the Department of Michigan American Legion, the Legislative Director for the Department of Michigan Marine Corps League, and the Legislative Chairperson for the Commanders Group State of Michigan. In these capacities, Doug is working for approximately 274,000 Michigan veterans with the state and federal government as a lobbyist for veteran issues. And Doug joins us live in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Tony.
Now, pull that up to you right there.
Good morning, Tony. How are you today?
Good, good. How are you?
I am fine, sir.
Now, you look good and you look a little leaner since I last saw you. I know that you had some health challenges, but you're feeling better.
Feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You absolutely. Ready to go.
You got to stop drinking so much coffee and eating the right things, correct?
Well, you know this old retired cops. Coffee and donuts. We can't have that anymore.
All right. Now, Doug, we've talked about this before, but to give our listeners some background, since we haven't had you here, we're talking about almost 275,000 vets and veterans from as far back. I think there's still some veterans from World War I living in the state of Michigan. Is that true?
No, that's not true, Tony. The last one died about 6 months ago.
Okay.
So we primarily have World War II, Korea, Vietnam veterans, and then from that period on forward now.
And I tell you what, with what's happening in the Middle East over the last 10, 12 years, a lot more veterans coming into the mix.
Yes, and we're really, really quite concerned about the Horn of Africa and the involvement that the president just committed there. We don't know what's going to transpire, but we do realize that we're going to have a lot of young people returning back to America as veterans who are going to need the services that the Veterans Administration provides. Okay.
275,000 vets in the state of Michigan. How many of those will come back and not be sure what they're going to do and not have jobs and not have education opportunities lined up?
Well, I assume a large percentage will come back not having any employment positions available to them. That's one of the problems that we're facing now in the state, is how to get these people back into the employment fields where they can continue their education or continue their lives. It's really very, very tough for them to assimilate back into an economy such as Michigan's, this economy, which is almost non-existent.
And it's been a big challenge when it comes to these veterans. Many of them are homeless. Many of them have had homes foreclosed on. Many are on public assistance. Some have problems with drugs and alcohol. Many are homeless.
Right, that's absolutely true. And, of course, we have to keep in mind that post-traumatic stress disorder and the traumatic brain injury is, as stated by the Department of Veterans Affairs, is a signature wound for the last 10 years of war.
All right, so currently, without talking about the future, because we're going to talk about in our next segment what could be and what may happen, but let's talk about now, what help is there available for these people?
Well, there are some programs available to help out. The Department of Veterans Affairs in the state of Michigan, as you know, you've talked with the director, Mr. Jason Allen. They have initiated programs and done a lot of things to help veterans along in the last 6 months. We're still working on getting a one-stop shop so that they can make a phone call, and that's in progress now. We hope to have that up and running probably by the end of the year. Don't quote me on that.
Now, the previous administration and the governor's office, you felt that there were some challenges on servicing these veterans.
Well, yes, we did, and we didn't have a real good relationship with the past governor. We seem to have a much better relationship with the governor who's in the chair now. It's important that they understand that these 274,000 veterans vote, and we've established a communications relationship with them. Hopefully, it will continue to improve.
I know you made efforts to communicate and to work with Governor Jennifer Granholm and her administration. What were the challenges? Do you think that she just had too much on her plate? She didn't have the funding? There wasn't the urgency from her side in dealing with this?
Well, I believe that there's enough blame to go around. I can't lay the blame at one doorstep like that. That would be politically unwise for us to do. I believe that gridlock for the last 8 years had a lot to do with our situation, and the fact that they were trying to balance a state budget on the possibility of bankruptcy in the Big Three. I believe that the state of Michigan has always been tied to the automobile coattails very, very closely, and nobody really seemed to realize just how badly that was going to hurt us when it did happen. I don't think we were ready for it.
And from the transition time from then to when Governor Rick Snyder took office, I know that when he was running, that your office had had some conversations with him.
Yes, we were part of the transition team. We talked to the governor and his staff about how much our veteran service organizations and officers bring back to the state for every dollar that they spend in helping us provide service.
How much is that?
Well, right now it's $104 for every dollar they give us. We return that much to the state of Michigan's economy through the Veterans Administration. That money, however, is something that they can't, the state treasurer can't put his hands on because it goes directly to the veteran who then uses it in his or her community.
So for every dollar that the state gives, $274 comes from the federal government?
No, the Veterans Administration, we have veteran service officers who go out and help the veterans in the application process to the Veterans Administration. And if they win a case and the money comes to Michigan, it goes to that veteran directly. Okay. It's $104 right now. It was $85, but it's up to $104 now for every dollar the state gives us, which was $3,900,000 last year. We return that amount to the state. $104 for every $1 granted.
How does that work?
Well, the Veterans Administration sends the money to the veteran. We keep track of who we deal with and what kind of awards are given and granted. And then that's calculated every year based on and based on what the veteran service officers do in the state of Michigan. That money comes from the Veterans Administration, goes directly to the veteran.
Okay. When we look at these vets, it seemed like back in the day, a lot of what they were dealing with, especially once they left the service, they kind of kept to themselves. You almost looked at, upon as a wimp, if you will, for discussing the challenges that you had. But that's not the case. What changed?
Well, I think basically the efforts of the individual military branches of the military have helped a lot. The Michigan National Guard has done a tremendous job of helping us as veterans get acclimated to the young people who are coming back today. They have Veterans Administration benefits that a lot of them never applied for. It's amazing how we'll go to different meetings around the state now and we'll find people in the front row telling us, well, we didn't know that we were given an award presumptively for Agent Orange or something like that. Veterans are simply not being informed sufficiently enough so that they know what they can apply
Why?
For. Well, it's a combination of things. I think, number one, we don't do a good job of advertising it, and we're trying to improve there. And the other side of the coin is that veterans simply are those kinds of people who want to get on with their lives and they don't have time to stop and deal with an organization of the size of the Veterans Administration.
With what's happened in the Middle East, especially in the last 10, 12 years, what's the average age of the vet now?
Well, it's between 19 and 23, and I believe that it's probably going to come down from 23, probably down to 19 to 20. And the reason being is that America has always used its young people to fight its wars.
What's the percentage of females?
Well, I think the last check was somewhere in the neighborhood of 23 or 24%. But I find it kind of humorous to think that the federal government and the Department of Defense says that women are not allowed in combat. We have platoons of Marines right now serving in Afghanistan who are all women. They're going out on search and destroy missions. And the reason being is that we're trying to culturally please the Afghan government. This is a problem. These women veterans have a whole new, unique set of problems and concerns.
And I think it is a challenge for us to fight a war, but when you look at all the diplomatic challenges that you have, I think we're playing by fair and moral and ethical rules and laws that the enemy isn't.
Yes, we seem to do that every time we go to war. We abide by the Geneva Convention, and we learn that the other side doesn't, and that happens every time. It's amazing how many young people that I talk to who've come back from Afghanistan and Iraq who will say to me, you don't understand that culture until you're in it.